In January, Father Bays and I went on a little vacation down to an island off of Honduras to do some snorkeling. Almost every day, we saw that promise of the covenant that you heard about in the first reading today. A rainbow was in the sky, almost every day. But you know what also comes with rainbows? Rain. It rained almost every day. That's the only way you get a rainbow, is it rains. So we were kind of grumpy every time we saw the rainbow, even though it's supposed to be this nice promise. Think, ah, it's raining again. Look, another rainbow. Isn't it beautiful? As we sit here looking at the water from our hotel room. Wow, this is not much fun. Rainbows and rain go together. And apparently, for Christians, as it was for Jesus, holiness and temptation go together. You would expect Jesus not to be tempted, right? After all, he's the Son of God. But the scene you heard in today's gospel happens right after his baptism. So God says to him very clearly, "You are my beloved son." And then he's driven into the desert where he is tempted. This gospel of Mark doesn't do the full temptation like we get in Luke and Matthew with the different kinds of temptation he got. But in those gospels, once Satan leaves, he comes back to tempt again. And you and I might think, well, you know, I'm a Christian. I'm trying to be close to God. I shouldn't be tempted. Why do I have temptations? Why don't they go away? I know in my life, even when I sit down to pray, is when the temptations come. Always a temptation to do something else besides pray. You have other things to do. Come on. All these things are important. Do those. You think, but I just sat down to pray. Leave me alone. It's like the evil one knows exactly when you're trying to do that. I thought too, once I got ordained a priest, oh, it won't happen anymore. I won't be tempted. Now I can be holy because I got ordained. No, the temptations are still there, the same ones. And all of you probably have the experience that the evil one seems to know our particular weakness, that he's really good at picking on just that particular area that is ours. It's like, that's my sin. And he knows it. He says, ha, you're weak in this area. I'm going to get you there. Because almost everybody, when they come to confession, says, I'm going to say the same thing again. I always end up saying the same thing. Yeah, I know. That's because those are your sins. Those are the ones that we fail in. I don't fail in some areas. That's somebody else's sin. But those are mine. Those are where the evil one tempts me in my weakness. So it's not strange that Christians are tempted. For Jesus was tempted. The church gives us this temptation reading at the beginning of Lent each year to remind us about who we are, a people who fail, who sin, who are tempted, but who have the same opportunity that Jesus has there to be ministered to in the midst of our sinfulness, in the midst of our temptations. For what we have in Jesus is somebody who conquered sin so that we don't have to be ruled by it, so that we can, like Jesus, be ministered to with the graces of God, the angels, holy ones, something to give us strength so that we can, little by little by little, turn away from our sin. But may I suggest that as hard as we're trying to be holier, we will continue to fail. Pope Francis goes to confession once a week. And you think, what would Pope Francis be doing? The Pope has to go to confession? Does he really have an opportunity to sin? I remember a retreat director years ago saying to us at a clergy retreat, gentlemen, I think your virtue is not so much your own actions, but a lack of opportunity. Okay, because as priests, we put ourselves, you know, we're saying Mass and we're in holy places, and so we just don't have the opportunity to sin. And so our virtue is not any effort of our own. It's because we haven't had the opportunity to do bad. Pope Francis sins. So we will fail. If Pope Francis fails, I'm going to fail. You're going to fail. We are going to fail along the way. That's part of our journey. But we are invited by the church each Lent then to work at it. Maybe to choose one thing this Lent. Maybe not your one big one that you keep failing in, but work on some little thing that you can be successful at. And in working at that, ask for God's help. Because we are not going to fix this on our own. We need the healer. We need the Savior. We need God's Spirit to do that. We don't save ourselves. So ask God. Pick one. This Lent, this is the one. This is the one that tempts me. This one I think I might be able to conquer with God's help. This little one. That's the command Jesus gives us today. Repent. Change that. But he also has that second part. And believe. Believe in the gospel. Believe that Jesus does this. So when you try something and you fail again tomorrow, you think, I did it again. Keep asking God. Believe in that gospel. The good news is there for you.